morning. I'm glad you're here, everybody watching online. So glad you're watching with us. So as we're getting through this peace and prosperity series in Proverbs chapter 3, we came to this, we're into verse 5 and 6 this week, and it reminded me of something that happened last summer. I actually told some of you about this. You might remember the story. I don't think most of you know it, though. Okay, we like to go to Table Rock Lake every summer. Now, this is like southern Missouri. It's a huge lake. We like to take the kids out there, and for the first time this last summer, we tried to teach them how to kneeboard. Anybody in here know how to kneeboard? Yeah, a few of you? Okay, it's pretty cool. All right, so I taught some of my kids how to do this. They were doing great. We got to the last day of vacation. You know, I'm cool, right? I want to be cool dad. So I'm like, I'm going to show them how to kneeboard. I'm going to show them that I can do it. So I get on the kneeboard. But the deal about our kneeboard is most of them have little rudders on the bottom. And so that when you lean, the kneeboard, it's kind of like a half of a surfboard, okay? And you get up on your knees on and the boat pulls you. So when you lean, these little rudders catch the water and the, like you steer it. Well, we had these rudders off, which is great for the kids because then they can just kind of sit up there and if they accidentally lean one way, it's not going to like take off on them or something and they can just kind of slide around. Well, I get up on there and I forget that I don't have any rudders and I didn't Velcro myself onto it, which was another mistake. So I get on there, and I'm getting outside the wake, and I forget there's no rudders, and I'm like, I'm going to jump that wake. And so I lean, like, as hard as I can to the side to cut back, but when there's no rudders, what does the kneeboard do? It doesn't go with me. I got a video of it. So I'm outside the wake. I'm doing pretty good. I'm like, I'm going to go jump that wake now. And I turn, and boom, if you just notice, the kneeboard just sits there. It was supposed to come with me, right? It's like, I don't know where you're going, buddy, but I'm not going there. Now, right at that moment when I hit that water, I broke a rib. Anyone here ever broke a rib before? It is painful. Like, you can't breathe. You can't move. I took everything I had to get back in the boat. It broke a rib, partly because when you hit the water going that fast, you couldn't see me because the water was like splashing up. But when you hit the water, you don't sink. You skip like a rock. In my case, a very fat rock, right? It was like boom, 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 boom. So my ribs just like crack, 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 crack. It was painful. Well, a couple weeks later, we're supposed to go to Wyoming. I hooked the trailer up to our van. We're driving out of town. My rib is still broke. I can barely get in the van. We get about 10 or 15 minutes outside of town, and we blow a tire on the trailer. I'm like, for real? It's like 100 degrees outside. It's like July or August. I couldn't believe it was so hot. It was my side hurt. I got out there. I'm jacking the trailer up with a broken rib. I don't have a tool to fix the tire. So I'm using the tool tire from the van. You know, with the ones that come with the vehicles are always like these cruddy little wanky little things. I'm trying to use that to like take the wheel off my trailer and I got my rib broke. It's not work. It was a terrible experience. Life was harder than it had to be. This guy showed up, pulled over to the side of the road. He jumps out of his car. He's a mechanic. He pulls out the right tool, walks over my trailer, and is like, boop, 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 pops it off in about 60 seconds. It was beautiful. Why was life more difficult than it had to be for me? Because I make stupid choices. Do you ever feel like you're a smart person, but you make dumb choices and life is harder than it has to be? Give me a nod if that's you, right? Okay, let's just go ahead and write this down. Life shouldn't be this hard, okay? And the question for today is, how do we clear the obstacles out of our way? Like, some of y'all are smart people, but you've made dumb choices. And so maybe you struggle with your finances month after month after month. Maybe you've gotten into a bad circumstance. Maybe it's not even your fault. And it's just a struggle. Some of you have family problems. There's conflict that doesn't go away. You got job issues, maybe school issues. Some of you have a romantic relationship or a marriage that is way more difficult than it should be. Some of you have addictions that just chase you down. Sometimes you doubt whether God even cares about you. And life shouldn't be this hard. Can we just say that out loud together? Come on. Life shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard. God actually wants, he loves you and he wants to get in your life. He wants to clear this crud out of your way. He wants to make a specific path for you. Today, I want you to know that God cares about you. If you follow what we're going to learn today from the book of Proverbs, you'll see that God cares. You'll see your marriage get better. You'll see your finances get better, your reputation, whatever it is you're struggling with, all this crud in your way. You're going to see that God is willing to clear this out of your way. And if you miss this, listen, if you miss this, you're going to be stuck finding your own way continuing to make more messes in your life. But if you get this, God will make a way for you, and you won't have to be the one to clear up the messes. It's a very popular verse we're looking at. We've probably heard it before, but let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to study what it actually means. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. So if you got your Bibles here, just grab one. Go to page 512. And you're going to, when you get to page 512, you see a giant 3 there, right? That's the chapter number. You come down to the verse number 5, the little tiny 5 there. All right, now this is Solomon who wrote this. He was one of the wisest men who ever lived. He's talking on behalf of God or wisdom, right? So this is like God speaking to us. And Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." Now Solomon was a king, right? He knew what problems were. People would bring their problems to him. And he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." Let's pray that we'll understand this. God, please speak to us today. Man, without you, God, we're not going to understand this. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit. Reveal truth to us. Speak through me in the name of Jesus. Put us on fire for this truth. Amen. All right. Again, I want to look at this verse, but I'm going to write on the screen just a little bit here. Because what God does is he tells us there's two options, right? We can trust in the Lord. Okay, that's the first option that we have. And if you look in here, what's the second option? Yes, it is to lean on something. Lean on what? Your own understanding. So these are two options that you have. And I want you to understand, you can either trust God or you can lean on your own understanding. That word lean, this was written in Hebrew. So when we translate it to English, it comes out lean, but you could also translate it rely on. Okay, like you're going to lean on, you're going to put your weight on it. You're going to rely on your understanding. Understanding could be translated your own wisdom, your own intellect, the way you think the world works. So these are the two options. You either trust God's way or you rely on your understanding of how the world works. Let's write this down. My options. I can trust in the Lord, or I can trust in myself. And actually, I'd like you to scribble out the word trust in myself, the trust in myself. Scribble out trust and write rely on, okay? You can trust in God or you can rely on yourself. Those are the options. And the Bible makes it really clear the way it words this. Did you hear it when it said this? It's like you have to choose one of those. You can't pick both. Yeah, I'm going to trust God, but I'm going to trust my own thoughts too. You got to pick one of those. Here's what's difficult though. You woke up this morning and yesterday and the day before and you had options. You had obstacles. And you had opportunities. Give me a nod if you agree with that, right? Every day you wake up, you have options, obstacles, and opportunities. You have these things every day when you wake up. And we find it hard to trust God in a lot of ways. For instance, you woke up, and some days you don't have very much money, and you're struggling. And God tells us, trust me, be generous. Give to me first. And so we're approaching life, and we're like, dang, God says be generous. But my understanding is I don't got enough money and I got a bill to pay. Anyone ever feel that way? And so we go, I can trust God or I can do what my intellect says, which is to not give my money away, right? To hold on to it. That's one way. You got relationships, right? You have people in your life. God designed marriage, sex a certain way. God says to do it a certain way, but you feel like if you do it God's way, things will work out poorly. So you sometimes choose to do it your way. What about forgiveness? God says, offer forgiveness and mercy. Just offer it. Don't hold back, but you're like, but they don't deserve it, right? My intellect says if I offer forgiveness too much, they'll walk all over me. Do you see how this works? You've got options, opportunities, and obstacles. God says, trust my way, not relying on your own understanding. But see, the problem is from the time you were a little kid, you've been taught to rely on your own understanding. Sometimes you would approach an option as a little kid, you'd make the wrong choice. My little 2-year-old dumped cereal all over the house yesterday. It was awesome. All right, I gave him the opportunity to clean it up. I turn my back for a few seconds and he's doing this. Whew. I didn't do that. He made the wrong choice. Then so did I, right? And you have options. And so when we're little kids, when we're parents, when we're doing stuff, we have these opportunities, and then you do something, and people go, why'd you do that, man? Come on, use your head. Anyone ever say that to you? Come on, use your head. And what they're telling you, think, you know better than this. And so we're taught from the time we're little that we're supposed to be thinking harder, using our own brains to solve these problems. And in some way, that's good. I mean, God has made us intelligent. Look at Job 38. Who has put wisdom in the innermost being? Who has given understanding to the mind? And the answer is God has. God made you an intelligent person. God gave you capacity. Let's write it down. In fact, the Lord has given our minds the capacity for wisdom and knowledge. Right? God did that. The Lord himself put knowledge and wisdom and understanding inside of you. And some of you have been told that you are dumb and that you're not capable. And that's not true. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He designed you with intelligence to use. God made you this way. Don't believe people who say that you don't have intelligence, that you can't have wisdom. But what always interests me is how intelligent other creatures are. For instance, dolphins. I read this article about dolphins. It is fascinating to me. Okay, one author said that dolphins appear more intelligent than humans. And I was like, what? I got to read this article. So I read it. And in the article, it explained that dolphins' visual part of their brain and the auditory part of their brain is more connected than in ours. And they did brain scans and all these different things. And what some researchers think is a possibility is that when a dolphin goes bleep, 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 click, 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 whatever noise this dolphin makes, bleep, 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 click, 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 they shoot this sound to the other dolphin. That other dolphin can hear it and interpret it as a picture. Like when you take a picture with your phone and you upload it to Facebook, you're not actually sending a picture. You're sending a bunch of ones and zeros. And when Facebook gets those ones and zeros, it organizes it into a picture that you can see. Likewise, when a dolphin goes bleep, bleep, click, 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 sounds like he's cussing a lot, bleep, 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 click, and the other dolphin gets it, that dolphin doesn't just hear bleep. Encoded in those auditory messages are actual images the dolphins can see. Is that crazy? That is awesome, isn't it? So one researcher was like, if it's real, they said, well, if this is true, then dolphins are more intelligent than human beings. And I was like, well, now hold up, buddy. That may be pretty cool, and they may have an ability that we don't have, but that doesn't mean they're more intelligent, because you, scientist, had the capacity to design a machine to scan their brain, interpret the auditory process, and determine what their brains are doing in a way that they couldn't even describe. Human beings are amazing. Have you ever heard music by Bach? Beethoven? This is beautiful. Who likes this kind of music here? Yeah? A few. Okay, maybe the rest of you like Ed Sheeran. Okay? I mean, this is good too, right? It's the same type of chord progressions as Bach and Beethoven, just with different sounds. But I want to talk about something really intellectual, so let's go back to the other music for just a second. No offense to Ed Sheeran. I want you to look at this picture. This is Jupiter, right? This is the south pole of Jupiter. This is what humans can do. We designed a machine that can take fuel, explode, and propel itself out of our atmosphere, travel 365 million miles, not lose its way, end up at Jupiter on the right side of it to take a picture that we've never seen before of a planet many times bigger than Earth, then transmit that message 365 million miles back in ones and zeros, then re-scramble that information onto a screen where a person can download it and talk through a microphone, through a speaker system, and tell everybody else about it. Humans are amazing. God did an amazing job when he made you, when he made us and Bach and all those things. Human mind is astounding. So what happens is we start to think, man, I've got this opportunity or this obstacle and it's in my way and I have the capacity to make the right choice. And a lot of times you do, but you got to understand something. 1 Corinthians says this, the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. You know what this means? The worst advice God will ever give you is better than the best plan you could ever come up with yourself. The worst advice God will ever give you is better than the best plan you could ever come up with yourself. Let's write this down.
1 Corinthians 1 says, the foolishness of God is wiser than any human wisdom. So the worst advice God will ever give me is better than the best plan I could ever come up with myself. Let's go ahead and say that, the worst advice part, the whole sentence, all right? Let's say that together, nice and loud. The worst advice God will ever give me is better than the best plan I could ever come up with myself. He made you. You're intelligent. You're smart. He just knows how much smarter he is than you. When my wife goes to buckle our two-year-old in our van, and by the way, we have a monstrosity of a van, right? It is huge. It seats like 400 people. It's ridiculous. Like, people honk at us just because the van exists, okay? It's big. So when my wife goes to buckle the two-year-old in the seat, in the car seat, he does not like to be buckled in that. Anyone else have kids that don't like to be buckled in the car seat? Yeah? All right. So he does not. So what does he do? If he gets in the van before my wife gets to him, he takes off to the back corner of the van. And do you know how hard it is for a 28-year-old woman, love you, baby, right? To crawl to the back corner of a van, drag another human being up to the right row and put him in the seat. It is difficult. Why does he avoid this? Because though he is intelligent, he's one of the most smartest. He is one of the... That was awesome. He is one of the smartest two-year-olds I've ever had. He has no ability to understand why the car seat is so important, does he? He just can't fathom it. He has no idea. I mean, you put him in that car seat and you're like, you gotta be buckled for safety. He's like, safety? You're like, yeah. If we get in a crash, car goes boom, you could die. He's like, me die? It's bad. That's bad. Right? Like, he just... He doesn't know, right? Like, all he can do is trust us when we're saying, man, this opportunity you got to ride in the van, you better buckle up, because if you don't, you could die, you could get hurt, right? It's a big deal. He does not get it. And God is so much wiser than you. Even though you're intelligent and capable, God sees things and he designed the world in such a way that you're not going to get it all. God gives you rules and commands and teachings so that you can understand what he wants you to do and be safe and live the life he taught you to live, even though you're not always going to get it. God has no problem with you using your brain. He does have a problem with you acting like your brain is bigger than his. This is why Solomon says, trust in the Lord. Look back at the verse here with me, if you would, okay? The two options we have are to trust in the Lord, or to lean on our own understanding. Now, you can lean on your own understanding, and you don't have to trust yourself. Why? Because you lean on it, you rely on it, because you see how this is gonna work, right? I think I should put my two-year-old in the car seat because I know we could get into a wreck, and I know, I've seen the studies, this is safer. My two-year-old cannot lean on his understanding in that situation because he doesn't get it. So in that instance, when we're facing a situation that we can't possibly fathom, we have to trust someone who can get it. Follow me? So you may not be able to get every rule of God or understand why God tells us to do what he does in any situation, but you can get the one who gets it. You can know the one who invented it. You know, here, this is why we have to trust God. And what are we supposed to trust him with? Look at this verse again. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, all of your heart. And if you remember from previous weeks, the word heart here doesn't mean your emotions. It means everything about you, your intellect, because this is written in Hebrew, right? It means intellect, your will, your decisions. Trust in the Lord with every fiber of your being. Let's write this down. I must trust God with all of my heart. That's my mind, my emotions, my decisions, my intellect, my will, as I recognize his capacity for wisdom and good plans far exceeds anyone else. And if you would circle the word trust there, that's huge. You got to trust God. God will ask you to do things that don't make sense to you. I'm going to say that again. God will ask you to do things that don't make sense to you. And at that point, we have to say, I may not get it, but I know the one who gets it. And I trust the one who invented it. I know God gets it. And I have to trust. This is why it's called trust, right? I have to trust that he understands even though I don't understand. That Table Rock Lake I was telling you about, we go cliff jumping there. That's where I broke my rib, but we go cliff jumping too. I've never broken anything cliff jumping yet. This is my daughter, Jaden, when she was like 6 years old. And that's when she first started learning how to cliff jump. So I just want you to picture this sweet little tiny girl going up on a cliff and jumping off, right? It's amazing. And so I don't know if you ever cliff jumped or not, but like when you're jumping into a lake in the Kansas, Missouri area and you can't see what's under the water, like it's frightening. I mean, even just a few feet up, it can be frightening. Never mind the 10 or 20 feet that sometimes we jump. And so we're getting up there and we're going off this and Jane's getting used to it and she's having a great old time. Well, I climb up the cliffs and I get to the spot that, I don't know, it's maybe 12 or 15 feet high. And there's a group of 15 and 16 year old guys there. They haven't jumped yet. And they're looking down. I don't know, man. They're looking at each other. You go first. I ain't going first. You go first, man. Then one guy would be like, I'll go first. I'll do it. No, I ain't doing it, right? And they're like kind of freaking out. And I'm just kind of enjoying this whole thing, right? This is hilarious to me because I've been jumping off this cliff for 20 years. And so then Jaden, my six-year-old, comes climbing up the cliff. And she walks up. She doesn't go to a spot where it's empty. No, she walks right in between all the 16-year-old guys. And she does it like this. Looks at them, like, what's your problem? And jumps. Boom! Slashes down. They look at each other like, we are losers. What is the matter with us? Look, because the first time you jump off a cliff, it is scary. I don't care how old you are, how brave you are, it is scary. But the more you jump, the more you trust the process, and the more fun it becomes. Give me an odd if you follow me here, right? And so when we come to God, some of you haven't trusted God. It's a very scary proposition to obey God instead of doing what you think feels safe and right. And so you know what we say at the cliff? When someone gets up to the top and they're just looking, and you can see they're thinking and thinking and thinking, you know what we tell them? Stop thinking. Why? Because the more they think about it, the less likely they are to do it. And then we say something that's very important, and I want you to hear this. We say, just jump, right? Just jump. Why? Because they know. They've seen hundreds of people go off this. They know it's safe. They just don't feel like it's safe. You follow me on this, right? They know it's safe. They just don't feel like it's safe. And if I were to pull you here in this room, I bet every single one of you would say, yes, I know God is smarter than me. Yes, I know that God's plans are better than my plans. But you don't always feel that way when it comes down to, here's an option. Are you going to do it God's way or your way? You know what God wants you to do, but it doesn't feel safe, so you do it this way because it feels better. This is scarier. What I'm telling you today is trust God. You just gotta jump, man. Just jump. Just jump. Stop thinking about it and going, well, do I obey God or not obey? I mean, do you believe God is infinitely more wise than you? If you do, then jump. No matter how many feelings you got going on inside of you saying, this is going to be scary. This is not a good situation. Some of you haven't trusted God even with your forgiveness. Like some of you walk into a church, you're still surprised you haven't spontaneously combusted yet. Some of you come in here, you still got guilt and shame. You got to realize when Jesus came to earth and he went to the cross, he paid for your sins. He wiped your slate clean if you accept his forgiveness. Like wiped it clean. But some of us don't accept that forgiveness from God, and we're holding on to our guilt, we're holding on to our shame, and then it gets really hard to obey God because not only do we feel like or think or feel like God's decisions are bad, we're still feeling guilty. We don't even know this God who wants us to make a good choice. You gotta accept the forgiveness of God. You gotta let his love get inside of you before you can make the right choice anyway. Now, some of you know Jesus. You've accepted his forgiveness, and you're still struggling with, do I do it God's way or do I do it my way? And you just got to jump, man. You just got to jump. Actually, you know what? Instead of jump, there's another word that's really good. I want you to look at the screen again. This word trust is what we've been talking about so far, trust. But there's another word in this verse that it lines up with. What word is almost the same? Submit. Trusting in God always means you're going to submit to God. It's the same thing. You cannot trust God without submitting to God. If you trust him and you trust that his ways are wiser than your ways, then you must submit to God. You know, we started this chapter a couple weeks ago. When you're reading the Bible, never take something totally out of context. Because when we're saying trust God, what are we, trust what? Just like walking around life going, well, I just trust God, whatever I do, well, that's, maybe that's good, but that's not what this verse is talking about. Remember chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. All right, do not forget what? God says, my teaching and my commands. We're supposed to keep God's teachings and commands. Where? In our heart. There's that word. It's the same word that the verse we're using today says. This is on purpose. This is the same chapter. He says, God says, do not forget my teaching and do not forget my commands. Keep them in your heart. And then he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. What are we supposed to trust God with? With his commands and his teachings. His commands and his teachings are supposed to be stored in our heart. That's our mind, our brain, our will, our intellect, our emotions, everything, right? Every fiber of our being is supposed to have God's commands written on it. And then that is what we trust, not our own understanding. See, it's not just this vague feeling of, oh, I feel pretty good. I think God will take care of me. No, this is, I know what God told me to do because I read his teachings and I'm going to trust that. I'm going to submit to that. Let's write this down. It isn't some abstract concept or just my life in general that I trust God with. I must take all of God's teachings and commands and trust God that his teachings and commands will lead me in the right direction. And maybe beside the word trust, also write submit, because it's the same thing. Trust and submit. There's this old song, not as old as Bach. It's from the 1800s. We're old school today, right? This old song from the 1800s, it's a hymn we sang in a church when I was a little kid. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That song said, thank you. I like her. Right, but that song says it the best. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Some of you followers of Jesus, you're not happy with your life. Why aren't you happy? Because you're not trusting and obeying God. You're still trying to figure everything else out on your own. You relied on your own understanding. God says, hey, forgive someone. Do it this way. And you've held back. You haven't forgiven them. And then your life sucks and you wonder why. God says, I love you, and you haven't really accepted his love. God said, marriage is designed for a man and a woman, and sex is supposed to be inside of marriage, and that's God's way, but you've done it a different way. God has said this about money. There's 1,000 topics we could cover, and we do it our way instead of doing it God's way, and then we wonder why life is so hard. Like, really? Proverbs 3. Actually, just grab your Bibles and turn there. Right, this part's so simple. I don't even need a screen, right? I like having these boxes here. All right, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And what? He will make your paths straight. What does this mean? I'm going to quote a Hebrew dictionary for you so you can understand what this means. Make straight renders a verb. That means to smooth out, to make level. Listen to this, or to remove obstacles in preparing a roadway. For example, he will show you the right path. He will make your path level. He will show you what to do, or he will direct your life. Let's write this down. When I submit to God's teachings, God himself removes obstacles in my life. He will show me what to do and direct my life. When God says, trust in him, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. He says he will remove obstacles from out of your way. Circle teachings on there, because that's what we have to submit to, right? Teachings, God's teachings. What you gotta do is stop saying, oh my goodness, I'm in the middle of a terrible situation. Won't God help me find a way out of this situation? And you've just got to trust and obey and then watch God clear the way out for you. He's just going to clear the way out of your path. That's what the Bible says. Trust God, submit to his teachings, and he will make your path straight, clear of debris. Wouldn't that be nice? It's like following a snowplow. You ever follow a snowplow? It's hard to follow a snowplow because they'd be dropping sand and salt. Snow is like 2 or 3 feet deep, you know, just kind of like flying all over. You got to use your windshield wipers. But some dummies think, I ain't going behind a snowplow. I'm going to go a different road. So they get going down a different road. They get about a mile away. And then what happens? They get stuck because they went on a road that wasn't plowed. And then they go, stupid city. You left the cleared path. And some of us, we do not obey God's rules. We make our own path. And then when life goes terrible, we go, I don't know why God would do this to me. That's not fair to say, is it?
No.
God wants to clear a path for you, but it's by obeying his teachings and his ways. Someone texted in, says, this really helps with the fears I have about missions. Yeah, that's totally applicable if you're going on missions work. I don't know if this was Levi or Cassie, but you should come to their thing tonight, help them fundraise. Someone texted in, says, we are not going to get it all, even in heaven. It's very frustrating, even though diligence and daily devotions, it can still be very frustrating. How do you deal with that frustration? Okay, it is sometimes very frustrating when you're trying to trust and obey God, and everything in your fiber of your being is shouting, don't do it that way. Isn't that frustrating? And it's like, it's hard to obey God. Let me tell you this. The more we jump off the cliff, the easier and more enjoyable it gets. The more you, amen, that's right, girl. All right. The more you jump off the cliff, the more you obey God, the more you just throw yourself at his mercy, trust him completely, the more easy it gets. Hudson Taylor, a missionary who'd never asked anyone for a dollar, or maybe it was George Mueller, the same idea, he did the same thing. He actually wrote, we trust God completely, and he would talk about how sometimes he would worry. The more he trusted God to provide and the more often God showed up, he saw God at work and the easier it was to trust him again. So though it can be frustrating, what you need to do is continue to trust and obey, get God's teachings all the way inside of you so that your heart is consumed with God's words and not your fears. Let's write this down. Here, let's take it home, okay? I will continue to do the 10-week challenge because the 10-week challenge is how we get God's words inside of us. Right? This is how we know what to do. And as I learn more about what God's teachings and commands are, I will trust and obey. I should also evaluate where I have not stepped out in obedience, but I've tried to figure out my own path instead of relying on what God teaches. I mean, you've done things your own way. I've done things my own way. Let's figure out what those are and then change course. I wanted to give you a list of things that God tells us about. And so here's this list. You may have your own, but you know, some potential places that God teaches on specifically that I may not have trusted and obeyed in. So these might be reasons why our life is not easy. Because we haven't trusted God with forgiveness, generosity, not going into debt, not charging others interest, not exasperating my children, not fearing my future, believing God has forgiven me, only taking jobs that are honest and allow me to serve God and be around his people still. Romantic relationships, not pursuing addicting behaviors, loving my enemies, not lusting, keeping my word, pray consistently with intensity, honor my parents, hold each other accountable, honor my marriage, tell people about Jesus. Those are all things God tells us to do. That's God's way of doing things. And if you're not doing those things, God's not clearing the path out of your way. What are some others from God's word that you know of? Right? Not just like, you know, I think I should diet a little bit more, but like, what does God tell you to do? And where have you done it differently? Could you just imagine if we started doing this? If God was clearing the path out of your way, like getting that crud out, and your path was level and straight and open? Ooh. What if when my thoughts or feelings and your thoughts or feelings disagreed with God, we said, I will trust God's ways instead of my own. Could you imagine if God was just clearing the obstacles out of your life? Could you imagine if all of us here, like all the 400 or 500 people at Revolution Church, totally trusted God 100%. None of us was relying on our own wisdom. We were all relying on God's wisdom, doing it God's ways. And God was clearing the path for all the 400 or 500 of us. Wouldn't that be awesome? People, I think, in Salina, their minds would be blown. They'd be like, something is in the water at Revolution. Because like everyone there, things just work out for them. I think people would be coming just to see who this God is. And we can teach them. But first, we got to trust and obey. Let me pray. God, help us to really, not just with our brains, but with our whole selves, trust you. To bring your teachings into our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and then to trust you instead of our own ways. We love you. In the name of Jesus, help us with this. Amen. Now go, trust and obey.